told him, you know, keep it off during the singing. And he did, I think. I don't know. Did you? Thank you. And so now we can turn to 2 Timothy. I understand in pastoring and preaching, especially in these circumstances right now, with the church without a pastor, you have visiting preachers. It's always a challenge for the congregation as well as the visiting preacher to know and be sensitive to the needs that this church has, right? God knows that. I don't. So we want to always seek the Lord. Lord, what does that church, this church, need? And He knows that, and He'll direct that in the preparation for the preaching time, opening the Word of God. Of course, this church, kind of with the connections that we have through Johnny, and you know, I know some of you and know some of the circumstances a little more than I would in other cases, but I just seek the Lord and say, God, you know, that we're into the beginning of a new year now. It seems possible like we're at Buck Rogers, you know, 2022, right? And I don't know if that was how it went, but it just seems almost impossible that we are where we are. My wife and I were just saying, yesterday in the new year, she said, "Do you remember the year 2000 when it changed? Do you remember that? How many of you remember that?" And it was all that scare that came about with the year 2000 and what was going to happen. The world was going to end, you know, with the electronics and stuff. None of that happened. But every year does kind of, when we roll over the calendar, it does kind of have a new and fresh beginning, doesn't it? It seems like that for some reason. It doesn't in any way change the circumstances at all, does it? I mean, all of the challenges that we ended 2021 with, we still have as we change the calendars, you know, put the new one up, 2022. But for some reason, it seems like almost a fresh start in some ways. But, you know, as we look at the world around us, I think we can all admit and agree on the fact that we are living in the last days, are we not? I think we could agree on that. It's what in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's not my text, but Paul alludes to it as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, in chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "This know also," and we know what he's about to say. We know what the Word of God says. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And what he was predicting or writing to Timothy, that the days that would come, we are living. And he says, "Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." And he goes on to describe the day in which we live. And I see the book of 2 Timothy as this instruction manual for living out the last days in some ways. There's other places that we could turn to, obviously, that would be helpful and beneficial for us. The Bible is always like that. It's always profitable, right? But here we have this book that is written from Paul that is passing off the scene. He is actually in his last physical days. But he is also writing to Timothy and writes about the last days in which we find ourselves. And whatever the case may be, I believe that, you know, either we are in, as I said, we're in the last days, or we never know when our last day might be. We are living out of the last days. And this book is a last days book of instruction to young Timothy, to the church, and ultimately to us. In chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing," the rapture, "and his kingdom," the millennium. So you have the last days that he is writing about, and this whole day of the Lord that is coming, and it's coming, I believe, very, very soon. The day of the Lord is an imminent day, any moment. Or we would finish out our last days, as Hebrews 9:27 says, "and as it is appointed unto man once to die." So we know that one way or the other, we're going to face last days. We are facing last days. And how can we face with confidence, as Paul was, facing his last days, how can we have that same thing? Paul writes, as these familiar verses in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul, facing his very last days, he was waiting for the executioner to come and to get him out of his prison cell and to take his head off. That was an exciting thing, huh? To look forward to. But I want to look at how he faced his last days and look at what not only Paul said, but what Paul did as he faced his last days. It's last days living. Last days living. I want us to look here at, and this is one of the things that as you visit a church, you don't want to be repeat passages of Scripture. It's possible, because I don't know what anybody has preached on here lately. But they probably not, hopefully not, preached on these last verses of the close of 2 Timothy. Okay? and maybe not in this light. Last days living. Paul faced his last days or completed his race with confidence and courage even while being confined to a prison cell. And I believe that we can learn from his example in 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we live out our last days. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you will now open our hearts so that you can teach us what we need to know. And Lord, help us to apply this instruction to our lives today. Help us to be faithful, I pray, in our last days, the last days, as we look with anticipation upon your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we see in Paul's last days living is that he was commending the faithful. And I want to pick out, there's a lot of things here in these verses. Beginning in verse 9, we'll really work through down through verse 17, 18, depending on time and how far we get this morning. But it says verses 9 to 12. Within the verses, there were some that were not so faithful. They weren't very faithful. And he mentions them. But I want to look at the positive side of that and be helpful to us this morning, okay? And it says, do thy diligence, verse 9, to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. We look at those verses, and he begins commending the faithful by complimenting or commending those that are faithfully serving God, those that are faithfully serving. Crescens, Galatia, Titus, Dalmatia, and this man Tychicus going to Ephesus, presumably to replace Timothy, so Timothy could then come to the Apostle Paul. You have these names, some we don't know at all. Titus, we know a Titus with the next book of the Bible written to Titus, another son in the faith to Paul. But we have these men that we don't really know, but we do know that they were serving God where they were sent. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it? They're serving God where they were sent. They were serving God where they were. And I believe that last days living is one of the lessons that we can learn even from the simple passage of Scripture, that we can serve where we are. We need to be doing that. To be faithfully serving God wherever God puts us. It's one of the things I've had to learn is we lived in Clinton and in the Clinton area for years. I grew up in East Benton. You know, if you know where East Benton is, because you were lost one time, okay? But it's just east of Benton, all right? And it's just a little place. And I was saved, a little church, East Benton Christian Church. That's where I went to church as a little boy, was saved there. And you know, then my wife was from Canaan, the Canaan. She lived on Easy Street in Canaan. I mean, what? Right? And we met at church and in youth group and in our teen years at the Clinton church. And so then we lived in Clinton. So I was on one side, she was on the other. We met and stayed there. Until I told you, I was 36. I went off to Bible college. Listen, a big trip for us prior to that was going to New Hampshire, you know? And we're like that. We're true Mainers. And we don't go far from home. Don't need to. You know, and we started. That's when really the adventure began. And wherever God has put us, we've determined one thing: we're just going to serve God. We're going to serve God. You know, that whether it be in the foreign land of North Carolina where they talk funny, or you go to Canada where they talk funny too, and you have all of that comment. Wherever God was going to put us, we're just going to serve Him and use our gifts that God has supposed to use our family. And we're just going to serve God and do our part for the kingdom of God. And that's the determination I believe that we need to have today. All of us here in Stratton, you need to do that. In Clinton today, for me, as I continue to serve, I need to continue to serve faithfully. And He commends that. Stop being critical and commend, compliment people. Be thankful for those that are faithfully serving. Those that are faithfully, it goes right together with those that are staying put. You say, that's a weird way to put it, but I alliterate everything. And I like to alliterate my outlines, all right? So stay put. If God puts you, stay put. Don't get angry and leave. Luke is the example at verse 11. It says, only Luke is with me. And there's an interesting study that you can do sometime if you would follow through the book of Acts and you follow it, and I got it written down in my notes here, but you notice in Acts, you jot it down, Acts 16:10 starts using the plural pronouns. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke did. You know that. All right, good. Somebody did. And Luke wrote it, okay? And prior to Luke 16:10, it's in the third person talking about other people. Luke 16:10, he starts talking about we, because he's there. Luke starts traveling with the Apostle Paul and through those missionary journeys. He's behind the scenes. You don't hear much about him. Matter of fact, you don't really hear anything about it. There's glimpses, but he is the we, right? If you're writing something, you talk about we, you're including yourself, aren't you? And if you follow through the progression of the book of Acts, he enters into the scene. He starts talking about we and us. When you start thinking about that, what he actually passed through, this beloved physician, Colossians 4:14 calls him that, he stays with Paul faithfully. Now you think about that in the context of passages of Scripture like Acts 27. When he faces, and I'm going to turn there to get some of the context, but you know the story where they encounter a storm that is named called the Euroclodon, you know that, right? And they encounter this tremendous storm that's keeping them on the sea being tossed, and they throw the cargo overboard and they wrap the ship. You know all of that, right? Luke's there. I don't know about you. I know about me. If that was we and us, I'd have wanted off that ship. And as it comes through, and it says in Acts 27, verses 18 and 19, it says, and we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So you get this, the picture. Luke is there helping toss the stuff overboard. So when Paul writes at the end of his life, when he's in the Mamertine prison and he is in a dungeon, and he says, only Luke is with me, that is saying something to us, isn't it? It's easy to stay put when it's easy. But it's not so easy when it's hard. Does that make sense? I don't know if that made sense or not, but it seemed to resonate with us. And I've been through, and this is why I know that God directs when we're sensitive, when the preacher is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know when a church is without a pastor, okay? I understand the difficulty of that. And it's easy to leave. It's hard to stay. Can I encourage you to stay? Just stay put. This community, this church, your family needs to see a consistency in your life as you live for Christ. And Paul commends those that are staying put, that are serving God, and then those that are surrendering or submitting their all. Another case study, even in these very simple lists of people, is this man Mark. Take Mark and bring him with me, verse 11 says, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Mark is an encouragement to us because Mark wasn't always profitable for the ministry. Mark had made some mistakes. You'll remember in Acts 13:13, and he, on the first missionary journey, he went along. Maybe he was just got along in the glamour of going on a trip. I don't know. But it wasn't very long into that trip. He says, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going back to Jerusalem. And he abandoned the thing. And he left them. And then there was a tremendous disagreement, wasn't there, between the God's workers, Paul, of course, and Barnabas. And so, you know, Barnabas says, hey, let's take him with us. And Paul says, we ain't taking him. He's a quitter. No, I don't think he said it that way. And there was a disagreement that arose. But, you know, as Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God made two missionary teams out of that disagreement, actually. But you see that all of that taking place, God, but this is all surrounding this character of Mark, John Mark. And he's kind of, you see him throughout. But by the time the end and the last days of the Apostle Paul, he's writing to young Timothy. He says, hey, why don't you bring Mark along? He's profitable. He'd gotten it straightened out. We are at the end of a year, and it is always good to kind of do a little bit of inventory on our lives. And, you know, as I reflect back on 2021 in my own life, you know, I didn't get it all right, you know. I didn't do everything perfect. Yeah, my wife knows that. That's why I didn't bring her, actually. I lied earlier. And but she understands that. You know, we didn't get it all perfect, did we? None of us did. We made some mistakes along the way. You know that I learn from Mark or from John Mark, this character in Scripture, that failure does not need to be final. Just because we drop out or we fail on the Lord doesn't mean we just stay in failure. We don't need to stay there. We need to move from there. We learn from it. We confess. We seek and get forgiveness. That's what God promises, right? And then we learn and we move forward. And we see Mark, after some time, he got that figured out. And Paul commends him for being submissive to the will of God, and now he's profitable. So Paul, living out his last days in a very difficult place, he commends the faithful, those that are faithfully serving, those that are faithfully staying by his side, and those that are faithfully surrendered or submitted to the will of God. The second thing that we see here in Paul as he lives out his last days, as we, I believe, are living out the last days, we can not only commend the faithful, and we can choose to forgive. We can choose to forgive. Verse 16 says, well, let's just read it down through. I think I stopped at verse 12. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with me, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, again, this is a negative example, but Alexander, the coppersmith, did him much evil. And he says, and that's really a warning, isn't it? It's just to make him aware of it. And we need to be aware of those things as well at times. But anyway, verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Very powerful statement. And this closing book and closing time of Paul's life, he reviews these things that are difficult to live through. And we know the story of the Apostle Paul, and in these passages we see that he was abandoned by all. And we could look back at 2 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, that catalogs some of what Paul went through. He was abused by many. Not only was he abandoned by all, but he was abused by many. And then now he's all alone in prison. You know, it's not easy to be alone. And the place where he was in that Mamertine prison, we could read about it, and you've heard, I'm sure, about it before, is a hole in the ground, really. Where you're lowered down and placed there in this dungeon. He suffered greatly at the hands of men. And you know, we have suffered at times. I'm sure we have. We could probably share stories about what so-and-so did to me, and how I was treated in this situation. You know, what good does that do? It doesn't do any good. He didn't do like the Apostle Paul did. He chose to forgive. He chose to forgive. Offenses, I put it this way in my notes here, are opportunities to forgive. Even though we're not like God who forgets, right? Aren't you glad for that? When God forgives us, he puts our sins away from us, right? As far as the east is from the west, and that's infinitely gone. We need to forgive even when we can't forget. And we need to put those things, those offenses, behind us. Choose to forgive. Can I put it any more plain as that? Demas, a fellow laborer and partner in Paul's ministry in verse 10, forsook him. Verse 11, as Mark, we'd already mentioned, he was forgiven. He was profitable now. This man, Alexander, what did he do with the offenses that were real? He gave them to God. God will deal with him. And God will deal with those that have offended you, okay? Choose to forgive. Paul, in this miserable, wretched prison dungeon cell, I put it this way, doesn't drink the poison of unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger, and allow it to defile and kill him in that prison. You see, if he'd allowed the offenses and the things that had happened to him to affect his testimony and affect his ministry, we would have never had this book of 2 Timothy. Because he wouldn't have had the heart that God could have used to write these things to encourage Timothy in the faith and encourage us and help us today. It would have been, as it were, defiled by the root of bitterness, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, that's where it starts, and thereby many be defiled, that's where it spreads. Starts here. It will spread to your family. It will spread to your church. It'll spread to your community, and you'll lose your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. Don't live in that root of bitterness and unforgiveness. When past failures and hurts and offenses are allowed to fester and dwell, they will infect your life. I've lived through that, not personally. I trust that has not happened. Although the opportunities have been there, which we certainly, by the grace of God, is by the grace of God we move beyond that, right? My dad has passed away. He's died of cancer about 3 years ago, and it was a sudden thing. But I saw it lived out, and my uncle that lives with us, my dad's younger brother, I've seen it in my uncle's life. My dad's whole family was affected by bitterness. Remember when my grandmother was dying and on my dad's side of the family. She was in a nursing home in Waterville. And she had COPD and couldn't breathe. She couldn't get oxygen, right? And she was dying. And we went to visit her. And my parents came and a lot of my aunts and uncles came. My dad stayed outside in the parking lot, would not go see his mother when on her dying bed. And I asked him about that. It troubled me. I remember going out of the nursing home on College Avenue in Waterville, going out to his car and said, "Dad, why won't you go inside and visit Grant?" He says, "Because I don't want to give her an opportunity to ask for forgiveness for the things that she did to us when we were young." See, that's what I'm talking about. Don't live there. The poison of that has permeated and affected that family till their dying beds. Paul could have drank that poison. Alexander deserved it, right? Demas, how dare he? And all of the others. But Paul said, "You know what? I'm going to choose to forgive." And some of us need to do the same thing. We know that God chooses to forgive us in Jesus Christ. It's a choice. Aren't you glad for that? We know the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. It says in verse 30 to 32, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know that, the Bible doesn't say you forgive them on the merits of how they deserve that. You forgive them on the merits that Christ forgave you, right? That's the basis of it. Mercy, mercy, and grace. The attributes of God. That's why God does it in and through us. It's God that has to do that. Colossians 3:13 echoes the same message, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We know Jesus said on the cross for you and me, Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, over and over again, we go through the Word of God, and it shows us our need to forgive. And Paul, in a prison pit, prays. He prays, verse 16. "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Who's offended you? You pray for them. It'll change your heart toward them. It'll help you. Oh, we could go on and on about that point, but we won't. We'll move on. Commending the faithful, his last day's living, right? He says, you know what? Praise God for those that are faithful and serving. Those that are staying put. Those that are surrendered and submitting to the will of God. And he chooses to forgive. Even when the offenses hurt, oh, they hurt. They were deep. And he's there alone. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there. He says, you know what, I'm choosing to forgive that. And then, number three, he changes his focus. He changes his focus. That's what I need to do. You know, there's a lot of negative things to focus on right now, right? Especially if you watch CNN. But anyway, there's a lot of negative things happening in this crazy world. You know, I have found, and probably you have too, you've got to start disregarding a lot of that. I'm not saying to be uninformed, but you know what? You cannot live your life in the hype. We can't do that. It's dangerous. And we got to change our focus on not all the negative things that are happening around us, but change our focus to what Christ has done for us. And I think that's what Paul does. I put it this way. Men, instead of focusing on what men had done to him, Paul is going to focus on what Christ had done for him. You see the transition in verse 17. Verse 17 and 18 is an entire message itself. You'd probably get nervous when preachers start saying that. Because it really does kind of open it up for us. Notwithstanding is a change. He says, so he kind of lists and catalogs all the things prior to that, but he says, in spite of all that, notwithstanding, he's changing. It doesn't eliminate him. By saying the word, notwithstanding, it doesn't get rid of all the problems, okay? It doesn't mean that Demas all of a sudden had stopped forsaking him. It doesn't mean automatically that Alexander had come and sought his forgiveness and get things right. It doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't mean that Paul is, they're coming to take him out of the prison and he's a free man. No, none of that is true. Matter of fact, it's all still true. He's still in the prison. Alexander is still a scoundrel. And Demas is gone. And he's alone. Paul's alone. But notwithstanding, in spite of all that, the Lord stood with me. And he focuses on the presence of God. The presence of God. God is there. And what a challenge that is. He focuses on the fact that God stays with him. Is the Lord with you today? In spite of all the lockdowns and viruses, personal problems, financial pressures, family relationships, meltdowns, I put it this way, lockdowns, meltdowns, letdowns, and putdowns. Ooh, that about sums it up, doesn't it? In spite of all that, the Lord is still with you. The Lord's with me. And it must be a reality, and it must be our focus, that God is here. God is here. God is in your life. He's working in spite of all of it. We know Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Not if you pass through, it's when. And he promises, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I love how Matthew 28:20 says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And it's Dr. Comfort from Ambassador who said that's why he doesn't like to fly, because the Lord said, lo, I'm with you always. You may have heard him say that. I was just reading, and if you're following the little magazines there that, I can't even remember what they're called right now, but the devotional booklets. You guys got them here too. Feature magazines, right? I think it was just yesterday or the day before, whatever it was, Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Think on that. But the Lord is. That's what we need, right? He is. And He's a present help in trouble. And the Lord is. And the Lord, He stood with Paul. And the Lord is standing with us, friends. The Lord's with us. We see that he focused on the presence of God. He focused, secondly, in verse 17, on the power of God. The Lord stood with me and what? He strengthened me. He strengthened me. There's sometimes you can't make sense of it all. And we feel like we're beat down, broken down. But it's the Lord that gives us the strength to make it through the day. You know, that's a prayer of mine. I'm back in working in the car business. I work for friends of mine, the Powers there. They have a little car dealership repair shop in Clinton. And, you know, my prayer, I don't like being in the car business, but it's just my background. I needed a job, right? So and that's my prayer. Lord, today is your day. Will you give me strength to make it through the demands of the day? And I'm trying to take care of customers and make them happy. And I'm trying to take care of the mechanics and make them happy. And none of them happy, you know? It's tough, and you know, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There's a challenges in your life, too. But it's the Lord that strengthens us. I'm so thankful for the grace of God, which is really just the Holy Spirit life, Jesus, the life of Jesus, living it out, the power of God in our lives. And Paul could say, you know, all alone in a prison cell, he says, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. Wow, what a statement that is. There's been so many times that, you know, I couldn't understand. I didn't have the strength, but you know the Lord strengthens you. Philippians 4:13 is just a theme verse for Paul's life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's that same thing, that dunamis. It's the power of God. It's the power from within, dynamite power of God that is poured into us, given to us in the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Given to us to help us. It's the resurrection power and of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the power of God. We have it available to us, and it strengthens us. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, it's a promise of God. Paul changed his focus, place where he was. We've changed the calendar year. We've started 2022 to change our focus and realize the presence of God, realize the power of God. We see in verse 17 the purpose of the plan of God. He stood with me and strengthened me that, and he gives this purpose statement, that by me, Paul, their preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. He kept a focus on God's purpose. In spite of all of the problems that he faced, there was something bigger that God was trying to accomplish. Remember when my father-in-law was Norman Gower, and he was a godly man and a tremendous example to me. And he passed away suddenly of heart failure in their home. And this was many years ago now. We're going through the visitation line, and a friend of ours came through, and he says, "You know, we can't understand this because we only see the event. But you know, aren't you thankful?" I'm not getting it word perfect, but I can still remember the gist of the conversation. He says, "God sees it from His perspective, and it's a whole different viewpoint. We can't always see it because we can only see so limited. But God, in His omniscience, He can see the big picture." My wife just recently, for Christmas, got a puzzle of where we live. We live on the outskirts of Winslow, kind of headed out toward China. It's a lot of woods. And the picture, I don't think the person that got it for us understood this, but it's a very nice gesture. But the map of this picture was this topographical, whatever you call it, view of where we live. It's green. The whole puzzle was green. And just some shades had the roads through it and stuff, you know, the China Road and the main road. They had the town of Winslow over in one corner. And so my wife has spent days putting this thing together. And, this was a really nice gift. And I told her with a pair of scissors and a ball peen hammer, all of them pieces fit. But anyway, she has more patience than I do. And she got that thing together. But it's just simply, we don't see it from that perspective. We live in a house. And we have a driveway and a garage, you know, and neighbors. We see the small picture. But, you know, the big picture in that case didn't make it look very good, actually. But anyway, from God's, in the events of our life, it actually does make sense. Because we can't make sense of it. So when we see here the ultimate plan of God, Paul is in prison. And somehow he focused not on the prison, but what God was doing as he was in prison. He's in prison, and he had suffered the events of 2 Corinthians 11 and all of the things that we read about in the New Testament that Paul went through. He said, for the twofold purpose, that the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And the suffering that you are going through or have gone through might be, it may be, that someone might hear and that the gospel might be fully known. Have you ever thought of it that way? To keep our perspective on the purpose of God instead of our limited understanding. Oh, may God help us with that. So I put it this way. I need to stop complaining how bad I have it and change my focus onto what God is doing. Maybe you need to do the same. Focus on the protection of God. We see in verse 17, I'm going to end here, not continue into verse 18, but says, "And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Wow. I was telling some of the guys before, many of you were here this morning, just New Year's Eve, night or two ago, whenever it was. Driving, I'd taken a couple of my kids over to our niece and nephews for a get-together. I was driving back on the China Road back home. It was very foggy with the snow, right? And all of a sudden, there's a doe standing in my lane. And I couldn't see. You couldn't see very far ahead, but she was in my headlights like, there she is. This is trouble. And just as I'm trying to decide what to do, jumping on my brakes, I see her fawn behind her. This isn't going to end well. And as I'm jumping on the brakes and saying, oh boy, here comes the airbag. I heard, boom, boom. I drove between them. Both of them contacted our van. I heard it. No damage. And I went, I'm still going. There's no airbags. There's no deer in my seat. You know, all I can say is that was God's hand of protection. I don't know what Paul's talking about right here, where he delivered me out of the mouth of a lion. I don't know if that means the literal lion, because it probably does mean exactly that, where he would have been thrown in the Colosseum to the lions. That would be awful. I mean, I'm saying that kind of like, really think about that. You can be thankful. Paul says, I can be thankful for the prison because it's better than the lions. Amen. Or does he mean our adversary, the devil, who as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour? Perhaps. Nonetheless, Paul recognizes something here. The hand of God is protecting him. And how many times have we gone going through our days, we are protected by the hand of God more than we ever would realize. God is at work and he is watching over us, and we praise God for that, and we can focus on that today. We're heading into a new year. The Apostle Paul was facing his last days. And we are living, I believe, living out our last days. I'm looking for the return of Christ. But I may not make it home today. Look at the roads. I'm just kidding. Hopefully. It's last day's living. It's last day's living. That we can agree on. We're living it out. The last day's perilous times shall come. We're living in perilous times. And folks, we need, in these last days, there's so many passages of Scripture will help us in this, but this passage teaches us that we can commend those that are faithful. And we can be faithful. We can be one of them. To be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes for us. We can choose to forgive whatever it is. Sometimes we need to go to somebody and say, you know what, I forgive you. And they may look at you and forgive them. What? What'd I do? They may not remember, but you are. You need to get that right with an individual today. Today. Go into the new year with that burden gone. Choose to forgive. Make that choice. Maybe somebody needs to forgive God. Maybe he's allowed you to face circumstances you didn't want and you're mad at him. Forgive him. Let it go. Release it to him. It's a bold statement, isn't it? Search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. And then change our focus. Not on how bad it is, not how I've been treated or are being treated, but simply how good God is to me. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for the examples that you give us and for this passage of Scripture that perhaps is somewhat obscure, a little bit different. But Lord, as you give us and show us insight and help us with these things, I pray that each of us will find application in our own lives for this coming year. Lord, 2022, with all of the challenges that you already know about, will be difficult for us, we expect. It's just part of life. But we commit ourselves in faith to your care, knowing that you know what is best, and praising you that you're with us through it all. And I pray, dear God, that today, we would resolve to be faithful until you come for us. In Jesus' name, amen.